Welcome back to the Modern Old School Training Podcast. I'm your host, Aaron King, and joining me is Coach Bob King as usual. We have a good podcast today. We're talking about a very relevant topic to our training, your training, and kind of what's going on in research, and as well as a question we got from one of our online subscribers. The topic today really comes from research that's been done lately in a topic on TV, and something we really wanted to dive into and kind of talk and how you can interpret it. It comes from PLOS One. It's PLOS.org, and it's a peer-reviewed research journal that you guys can check out. We will attach the link to the blog. And the topic of this article is 12 weeks of sprint interval training improves indices of cardio metabolic health similar to traditional endurance training, despite a five-fold lower exercise volume and time commitment. For starters, what does that mean?
Good question. Well, what they did is they got a bunch of individuals, and we're talking about research, and just a real quick disclaimer or tip on looking at research. You'll see this on TV all the time with a lot of times with medications and things where it'll say, research has indicated or studies show, and that you got to be very careful with that, because show and indicate doesn't mean that it's 100% or everybody that did the same thing had the same responses. So I say that because this research, they did a study with these individuals, and when you look at research, you know, I look at the abstract, which is a summary of what was going on, and see if it's interesting enough to read and what flags may go up. And so what I'm getting towards is in the methods here, it says sedentary men, 27, give or take, you know, 8 years, either way, with a certain body weight, did an exercise program. Well, sedentary means they may sit at a desk or just not do a thing or get off the couch. The thing about that is, it's likely that no matter what they do, they will show some improvement. So you just got to, you know, go with caution on that. But the interesting part of the study was they did a sprint interval for a hard 30 seconds with a minute rest after a warm-up, and they did it at a high rate of speed, which jacked up their heart rate and created all kinds of metabolic changes, because their cardiovascular pulmonary systems are working in overdrive. And when that happens, there has to be a response. On the other hand, the other group of individuals did a standard low intensity or moderate intensity cycling to achieve about the same thing. Now, that creates a whole lot of problems for those of us who train athletes and want them to grind it out for an hour at a time. What I need to make sure everybody understands is when you're talking about studying sedentary individuals, that's light years away from a world-class athlete. So if you have to go into competition that's going to last for 3 hours, you have to push your body to adapt to that type of stress. For me and a lot of us, you listening, it may be just, I need to stay fit and healthy. So now this sprint interval training can be very beneficial for me. And it helps because it takes a lot of time. It's about 30 minutes a week, they were saying, and it takes a lot of time out of your workout. Takes away from it, so you don't have to spend as much time in the gym or going through the process. Now, here's a footnote to that. We have known for a long, long time the benefits of interval training. Cardiologists, neurologists, it's extremely beneficial to your cardiovascular system, as already mentioned. Neurology has shown to be very effective. It has been very effective with neurology to keep your mind sharp and lively. So it's got a place for health and fitness, but it's got a separate place for athletic conditioning. So if we go into a track workout, I don't care what sport, football, basketball, anything, and do interval training, the distances have to be longer. Now we get into what we call specificity of training. So you have to train yourself for your body to go the distance and length of time that the competition requires.
Okay, so we have two types of training here. We have just general fitness and we have sports. Now, you know, I know me personally, I know a lot of former athletes that are, you know, 30, 40, 50 years old. You know, you don't want to go to the gym and just get on the treadmill. You get bored easily and you want to do some other training. And so a lot of the training that we like to do has to do with, you know, these shorter segments. It still has an athletic component, but it's toned down to be more of fitness, but it's something that keeps you engaged in the gym, keep you active. So kind of splitting the two here. I guess let's go kind of into, you know, sports training. What's like kind of the separating kind of key takeaway between the fitness getting active and from a sedentary standpoint to that I'm trying to go from, you know, JV to varsity or to college?
Yeah, good point. The thing that goes on with research and things like that is you do have to make that application to the situation you're in. Therefore, if I'm in sports and I want to move myself up the ladder of ability, I have to push my body to train to compete at the level that the better athletes train at. What that means is I have kind of come to the conclusion over the years that speed separates levels. There are a lot of talented athletes in every sport, but all of a sudden the speed of the game changes and that talented athlete, skilled athlete, can't keep up. At the same time, the speed of the game requires a greater recovery rate for the individual going at a high rate of speed. Therefore, you have to have a cardiovascular ability to recover to keep the speed element. As I like to say all the time, there is no halftime adjustment for fatigue. So that speed to be maintained late in the competition has to be backed up by good cardiovascular stamina. Therefore, if you're expected to be able to call on your body to go fast and explosive and powerful for 3 hours or during a 3-hour time frame, your body has to be able to sustain the energy level and output for that length of time. Therefore, the training has to match the components and elements of your sport.
What really helps athletes take that speed to the next levels is working in groups, pushing each other. Because there's, you know, I can go to the gym and you can work as hard as you mentally want to go, but there's a whole, you know, your mind will give up before your body will. But if you True. Have someone pushing you on a day you're off and vice versa, you're pushing them and having that competitive nature, that helps you take it to a next level, helps you, you know, maximize every rep, helps you just push yourself a little bit.
Yes.
So that's something that I think is very important for, you know, if you're an athlete that's training on your, you know, by yourself, trying to get the little extra, you know, find a teammate, find a partner and get that extra, that little push. So from that, you know, obviously the speed separates levels at the sports, you know, sports element, but from the fitness side of things where maybe I'm retired, maybe I took that desk job. How would you ease into, you know, getting this high intensity training? Cause you don't want to just say, oh, I'm going to bust it for 2 weeks and get a couple months worth of exercise. If I go hard, the diminishing returns that you can get.
Yeah. That's a very crucial point to this, because I don't know that anybody can go in 6 days a week and just grind it out like that. And so as far as that start off, it's kind of like there's a thing called the RPE, rate of perceived exertion. And so if I go at I'll use round numbers here. If I'm pedaling a bicycle at 40 RPMs and that's hard, then you do that and then try to come up and get your RPMs up to 45 until you're up to where now you know you're absolutely adapted to it and you're going faster on each of the burst. Now it's interval training, so you go fast, rest, and the rest is what's called an active recovery. You're still, in this case on the bicycle, you're just pedaling at a comfortable pace until it's time to start over again. So that's one aspect. The second part of it is there are times in practical terms, there are times when I tell you what, I had such a stressful day. It's been hard everywhere I went. I just want to go to the gym and get away. I want to put my headphones on and get on the Stairmaster and disappear for a half hour. That's fine. You can still do that. So all the types of conditioning and training that are kind of out there and known right now have a place. And the best place is to alternate stressors. You know, like again, that phrase active recovery means I can go with a 30-minute moderate level intensity and not negate the high speed intervals I did the 2 days before, because they link and work together. So the extended training helps the anaerobic recovery be more effective.
There's just a lot of science there. There's a lot of takeaways from kind of that topic in general, and we will definitely be diving into more research articles to really bring kind of where this you know comes from, all the things mm-hmm. that you kind of know by nature, but it's like, well, what's the science behind it? So that's a good topic. We're going to switch gears and go to our question of the day. And this comes from Alex online, and question is about specifically was about like the mini hurdle drills and kind of the stride frequency, but the question is, The hurdle drills, are they good for improving stride frequency? Should a 100-meter, 200-meter sprinter benefit from doing these drills regularly? So it's a great question because I think people need to understand the place everything goes. So if you know you go into the kitchen, you're not just going to put pepper on everything. It has its place. And so what can a sprinter, someone who has that long stride length that really getting open 100, 200 meters, what can this little drill do for them?
Well, the mini hurdles are about stride frequency, and the speed formula is stride rate times stride length. So the rate or frequency is built into the speed formula. That's the first thing. Secondly, in track and field, the 100 and 200 both have starts. So you're in blocks and you're coming out of the starts. And the point of the hurdle training that we utilize is to get on and off the ground quickly, impulse. And so we tell people that, learning how to sprint or improving sprinting, that sprinting is a series of takeoffs. You only touch the ground to take off again. You're not landing. So the mini hurdles in our 0 to 10 training program, even our 0 to 30 program, allow you to touch the ground and get off quick. Tap, 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 tap. And so if you're in the blocks in the 100 meters, you're going to have at least, three or four strides that you've got to have. They're going to be shorter than your full-out sprint stride, and they need to be quick. The 200 meters, you're on a curve a lot of times, so you can't open up in the beginning in the first place. So the turnover, the quickness, the rapid foot strike that the mini hurdles train are extremely beneficial in the first. We just call it 0 to 10, coming out of the blocks and getting into your stride pattern. So they definitely have a place. Once, twice a week would be sufficient because it's in some of our training programs, those type of drills for events like 100 and 200 and so forth, those we call an extended warm-up. So we do our warm-up and stretch, and before we get into the longer runs, we can do that 0 to 10 training, and it just kind of is a bridge between warm-up and the actual hard workout, but you're training with a purpose. You're not just killing time or going through the motions. So the mini hurdles absolutely have a big impact, can have a big impact on your 100, 200 meter start.
Yeah, mini hurdles, ladders, bands, all the different little gadgets and tools, they're great little resources. Kind of, it is an extension of the warm up, and it's just a tool to help supplement kind of your training and all the heavy lifting that you're doing on those longer, higher intensity drills. And so the mini hurdles generally spaced at 3 feet from 10 to 13 hurdles is kind of a good amount. And then right. The spatial illusions, 4 feet.
4 feet.
But the transition on someone opening up to that 100 meter, 200 length, how should they kind of balance the spacing?
Rotate the stress. In other words, the stressor or stimulus would be alternate between workouts. You may just want to do the 3 foot spacing just to work on just quick amortization phase, if you want to be technical about it, just on and off the ground quickly, and then take them on out to 4 feet in the another day of training. And then the third thing is we do a little program where we might use 6, maybe up to 8 hurdles and run through and sprint off the end, because again, with the 200, especially on the curve, there's a little transition, the old track and field slingshot coming off the curve into the straightaway where you can open your stride up. And transitions in sports, no matter what the sport is, are very important from 0 to start to open up stride. So sprinting off the end of a set of hurdles for 10 to 15 yards can be very beneficial in accelerating in a transition.
And we'll have a lot of training programs using the mini hurdles and training programs for track in general, specific to each position and length. Those will all be available on Modern Old School Training's training programs. And you can always check out the King Sports Training YouTube channel for some drills. There's about 10 or 8 to 10 mini hurdle drills on there you can supplement your workout with. All right, that's all we have for today. It's good topics, good questions. If you guys have any questions, please tweet me at DeepSnap or tweet Coach King at King Training. And you can always reach out to us through all the various social media and websites contact forms. Look forward to talking to you next time.